Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Chapter 4, we might write over it, the throne of God. There are 3 things perhaps we ought to notice. There's in verse number 1. Behold, I saw a door opened in heaven. So we have a door opened. Then look at verse 2. Then says, John, behold, I saw a throne set in heaven. So we have now in these first 2 verses the subject of the chapter. It's a door opened and it's a throne set. And then from verse 3 through the remaining part of the chapter, we have a description of the throne of God and those who are associated with that throne. So we find as we go through these verses that there is these expressions on the throne, about the throne, from the throne, before the throne. So everything in this chapter is linked with the throne of God. But let us first of all consider verse 1. Now says the apostle, he says, Behold, I saw a door opened in heaven. And so we find that John, who was on the Isle of Patmos, he's now moved through now to a door that's been opened in heaven, and he heard a voice as of a trumpet saying, Come up hither. And so we find that John has removed from his situation on the Isle of Patmos, and now he finds himself in the spirit, in heaven, and in heaven he's going to be given visions in relation to the program of God in relation to time and things on the earth. Notice that we have in verse 1 a door and a voice and the translation of John. Very interesting that this is the third time in this book we read about a door. In chapter 3, verse 8, it's a door opened. I take that to be a door opened for service. In verse 20 of chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, that's the door of communion. But then we come to another door, a door which John says was opened in heaven. And now it's not service, it's not communion, it's really a door that's going to lead John into revelations in relation to God and the throne of God and the activity of God during Daniel's 70th week. So verse number one has, first of all, attention drawn to the door. But then there's a voice. And the voice that John heard was the same voice he's heard in chapter one. When he says the first voice, that's what he means. The voice he heard back in chapter one. And that voice was like unto a trumpet, in order that John might get a clear, concise command to come up hither. And so we find that with the door open and with the voice to John to come up hither, now John is translated from earth to heaven. And in the translation of the apostle in this verse, we have an example, if I might put it that way, of what would be the experience of the church at the coming of Christ, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, John was translated from earth to heaven. And we find that when the Lord comes, the church will be translated from earth to heaven. So in verse number 1, we have these three things to observe: the door, the voice, and the translation. When we go to verse 2, now John is occupied with a throne. Behold, I saw a throne set in heaven, indicating to us the tranquility of heaven amidst all the disturbances upon the earth. Heaven is always tranquil. For we not only read of one sat on the throne, we read of 24 elders sitting upon the throne. So everything is in a tranquil state. So what John saw in verse number 2 was a door that was opened, of course, and he saw now a throne that was set in heaven. Of course, he does go on to tell us about the one who sat on the throne. But of course, no one could stand in the presence of God with his personal glory ablaze as he sits upon that throne. And so what we find is this, that the throne sitter referred to in these early verses is actually revealed to us in symbolism. It talks about a jasper and a sardis stone. In other words, a jasper speaking of the brilliance of the glory of the throne sitter, even God, and the radiance of that glory from that throne. For although the throne sitter is not named, I think it must be seen that God is the throne sitter, because he's addressed by Lord God Almighty, or the Lord. And so we find that we have now a throne, and upon that throne sits God himself. But God, of course, cannot be revealed in all his personal glory, because no man could stand in the presence of the revelation of the glory of God himself. And so, therefore, we have now these symbolism when we read of the jasper and the sardius. And the jasper would be, I suppose, like the diamond. It speaks of the dazzling purity and the radiant glory used to describe the God who sits upon the throne, and the sardis stone. And so we find that with the radiant glory of the sardis, I understand, would be the ruby, red. And so we have in this description of God, not only his glory and the brilliance of that radiance that shines out from that throne, but we also have the fact that here we have one who's going to move in grace, even though it's going to be chapters of judgment. We do remember that in judgment, God remembers mercy. That's why we read that around the throne was a rainbow, and that rainbow in colour was like unto an emerald. Now that the rainbow speaks of the grace of God. So although we're going to go through chapters of terrible judgments, and we wonder how things will be on the earth and how men and women will cope with such things on the earth when God's throne, it becomes a throne of judgment and God deals with men direct from heaven in relation to their wickedness and their lawlessness. But there's a rainbow. That rainbow in colour is emerald, it's green, And so we have, in the midst of God's judgment, here in chapter 4, we're told that he remembers mercy. And so we no doubt will find, as we go through these ongoing chapters, we see the judgment of God in all its awfulness, and yet the grace of God, and the way in which God moves in relation to end times. And so we find then we have the throne and the throne sitter. Now associated with that throne, not only a rainbow, associated with that throne are 24 thrones. It says seats in our Authorized Version. The word simply means thrones. So around God's throne in this chapter are 24 other thrones. And upon those 24 other thrones sit 24 elders. They're sitting. And of course, the great question is, who are the 24 elders? Well, there are a number of interpretations given unto this statement. Let us remember, John, although he introduces us to 24 thrones, and sit upon those thrones are 24 elders, he does not identify for us in this chapter who these 24 elders are. That's why there is various interpretations of who they might be. Let me just mention one or two. You see, there is a majority view that because it's 24, that's the figure, that therefore it's the redeemed of Israel and the church seen together, glorified in heaven, because there were 12 apostles and there were 12 tribes. And so there is a suggestion that these 24 elders represent the redeemed of the Old Testament and the church of the New. Well, that's one view. Another view is equally very strongly put forward in our commentaries, if you read, is that the 24 elders, they represent the church. For after all, they're clothed in white raiment and they have crowns of glory. And we do know, of course, when you go back through the letter to the churches, there are those who were given to walk in white raiment. And in Philadelphia, they were wearing crowns of glory. And so we find that there's a strong interpretation, a strong thought of interpretation, that's not now the redeemed in Israel and the church, but rather it's the church. And the reason for it being 24, well, says the interpreters, the commentators. See, way back in 1 Chronicles, David divided the priesthood into 24 courses. And we know that from chapter 1, that the priest will be wearing white raiment, and they'll be wearing crowns. And in chapter 1, we're told that we've been made kings and priests unto God. So maybe the crowns which these 24 elders wear suggests that here we have the church in glory, wearing crowns because of her kingly status, but also kings and priests. And the garments of the priests, of course, was white. They wore white raiment. And so there's a very strong line of interpretation that these 24 elders actually represent the church, now glorified in heaven, and they're seen seated around the throne of God upon 24 thrones. But there's a third interpretation, and that is that these are not men at all. These 24 elders are angelic beings, 24 angel rulers, through whom, at this present time, God is ruling the world, governing the universe. And so it has been suggested that these 24 elders really are angel rulers who are moving with God in the government of the universe. So you see, it's very difficult to come to a conclusion. I just set before you the three of the most important interpretations that have been set out over the years. The majority view would be that they represent the church, simply because of the white raiment and because of the crowns and because we're kings and we've been made kings and priests unto God. But I'm not sure. I must confess, and where we're not actually told in Scripture who these 24 elders are, is left now to our own study of Scripture, our own intelligence in the Scripture as to who they might represent. And so we find that there is one who sits on the throne, that is God. But God, who cannot be seen in all his personal glory, is described by these precious stones. And then, of course, there are these 24 thrones set around God's throne, on which are sitting 24 elders. And then we find again within this chapter that we not only have 24 elders, but there are four beasts. Well, verse number 8, I think we're at, when you get down that far. A link with this throne, there are four beasts. It's a pity, really, that the Authorized Version translated it just that way, because really, the translation would be better, if I might suggest, here are four living ones, or four living creatures. So associated with the throne of God, in Revelation chapter 4, we have 24 elders, and then we have four living ones. Now, I do think, as far as the four living ones are concerned, it's easier to come to a conclusion as to whom they represent. I take it they represent those higher angelic beings, the teraphim and the cherubim. For instance, you see, when you read of these four living creatures, well, they have a face of a lion, and an ox, and a man, and of course a flying eagle. Because you see, God is going to begin to move in judgment in relation to the earth. And so we have these symbols that relate to earth, lion, and ox, and man, and eagle. For in these, we have the ideas, of course. Lion speaks of strength. Ox speaks of endurance. Man speaks of intelligence. Flying eagle speaks of swiftness. And so we can see that these four living ones, represented in that way, are associated with God in his judgments upon the earth, as will be developed for us in the later chapters. And so we find that in this chapter, in which we have the throne of God set before us, we find that this is preparatory to what will begin to unfold in chapter 6, which we take to be the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. And so we find we have a door opened, we have a throne set, and then we have worship. You see, these four living ones, they are before the throne, or they are around the throne. Just let me say this, the 24 thrones are around the throne, and the rainbow is around the throne. I just want to suggest to you the rainbow is around the throne vertically, whereas the 24 thrones of the elders are horizontally. And so we see how the scene is set in chapter 4, simply from the standpoint of God's throne, in readiness for the judgments that will begin in chapter 6. But then we notice that these four living ones, they worship him that sits upon the throne. And they say concerning him that he is worthy of glory and honour and thanks. And so these four living ones, recognising the greatness and the supremacy of him who sits upon the throne, offer unto him worship in the sense of they offer glory and honour and thanks. Because as they do appreciate, as perhaps we don't, something of the glorious majesty of God who occupies the throne of heaven. Of course, there is a question, is this God's eternal throne? Well, of course, we do know from Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, God seems to have to set up a throne in the heavens, before which angels are called to give to report unto God their activities upon the earth. And at that point in time, both in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Satan appears among the sons of God, another term for angels, of course. And so we find, would Satan really have access to the eternal throne of God? Of course, once he was the highest of God's created beings, he was nearest to the throne of God. But because he lifted up his heart in pride and declared that he was at his throne above the stars, even above the throne of God, he was cast down. So just question, would this be the eternal throne of God? If Satan had access to it, along with the angels who had given their report? Maybe here in chapter 4, it's not so much the eternal throne. I've only suggested, of course, it could be the throne that is movable by God in relation to his judgments. But that may be of interest, or maybe just by the way. But we do know that because of the greatness and majesty of God, these four living ones, these who would represent cherubim and seraphim characteristics, for all you've got to do, of course, is to compare Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel chapter 1. For in those two chapters, we have the seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy." In Ezekiel chapter 1, we have the cherubim, and they are seen in all their splendor. And so maybe these four living ones, as to their character, they have the character of the cherubim. And remember, the cherubim seem to be those who are responsible for maintaining the righteousness of God. We remember the Garden of Eden, it was a cherubim that stood at the gate of the garden so that man could not enter in. And then we have the seraphim. Well, says Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, he said this, they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And so maybe these four living ones are in character like the seraphim of Isaiah 6, like the cherubim of Ezekiel chapter 1. And we see that these angel highest, well, shall we say, the highest of God's created beings offering to God worship. And they say, "Glory, honor, and thanks be unto him." Notice, who lives forever and ever. And so we have the eternal character of the throne sitter. He is eternal, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. It's a marvelous picture that was given unto the Apostle John when he translated it to heaven. The first thing he saw was the throne and the throne sitter. The 24 thrones with their elders sitting upon them and the four living ones. And what he heard was this, that the four living ones gave their worship unto him that sat upon the throne and spoke of glory and honor and thanksgiving. For they describe the throne sitter as one who was and is to come. In other words, because the scene is set for God's judgment in relation to the earth, we have these expressions used of God, who is eternal. And so they give their thanks unto him who is eternal, who knew neither time nor sense, really. And at the worship of these four living ones, we find the 24 elders, they fall down before the throne. And having fallen down before the throne, they cry, "Glory and honor and power be unto him that liveth forever and ever." And they cast their crowns before him. And so we find that in the end of chapter 4, God is upon the throne in all his majesty and glory and power. The four living ones are giving glory to him. And the 24 elders cast their crowns before the throne, as it were, abdicating the position that they may have enjoyed, so that God now is all in all, as far as this chapter is concerned. And what begins when the door opened in heaven, and John being called up to see things that shall be after these things, the things of the church, and then to find himself moved, translated from earth to heaven, and then to see the throne of God set. Now we find that the chapter concludes with the power of God. That's why these 24 elders, they describe as glory and honor and power. For all things were created by him, and for his pleasure were they all created. And so we find then in this opening chapter of the prophetic side, if I might put it that way, of this book of the Revelation, we're introduced to the throne sitter without his name, just described in symbolism, and the throne which is immovable, a throne that is altogether set, stable. And so whereas we shall see as later in the book, the thrones of earth will be toppling, the very throne of God, whether it be a throne of judgment set different to his personal throne or the throne of his personal glory, it matters not. We find his throne is stable, established, immovable in that sense. So whereas the thrones of earth are being cast down, God's throne remains stable, as do the 24 thrones around his throne. There's no movement. Everything is tranquil. Everything is peaceful. Everything is stable. And so John, as in preparation for visions that are yet to be given to him of the dealings of God with this earth, we find he does say in chapter 4, he says, I was in the Spirit. And so we see in chapter 1, he was in the Spirit and had the revelation of the Son of Man in chapter 1. And then of those letters to the churches in chapters 2 and 3. Now he's in the Spirit again. And it's not now the vision of chapter 1. It's the vision that will run through from chapter 4, right through to chapter 16. And here we have vision after vision given to John of God's dealings with men upon the earth. And yet, before these dealings begin, during that time, I take, between the rapture of the church and the commencement of Daniel's 70 week, there will be a period of time in order for things to develop. And during that period of time, this is the scene in heaven of the throne of God set and everything in order. And so we see that we have in this period of time, whether it be long or short, between the rapture and the commencement of Daniel's 70th week, we have this scene in heaven assuring us that everything is under the control of the eternal God and everything is stable, tranquil in heaven, whereas on earth is a different story. So we see then, as we open up this section of the book of the Revelation, and next week, of course, we'll take up chapter 5, which is a continuation of chapter 4. But it's very interesting when we come to chapter 5, that out of this scene of glory, or shall I say, in this scene of glory, we find John now weeping in chapter 5. So that's something for us to think about in between whiles. Why would John weep in heaven? It's such a vision of divine glory. But we leave that till next week and trust that God will bless his word. Thank you.
Amen.